Father, we thank you again this morning. What a time of worship. That's the only thing we can really give to you, Lord. All other things you gave to us, Lord. Whosoever praises me, glorifies me. We are so blessed to glorify your name this morning. And so shall we continue until you come forth, that trumpet shall sound. And Lord, we're going to hear the voice. Come up, Peter. We will praise you from now, even throughout all eternity. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you for the great testimonies and deliverances. No other God really can deliver after this sort. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your ever abiding presence in our midst and the midst of all the saints everywhere in the world, just as you have promised us. Now, Lord, as we read the scripture this morning, we trust in you that it may be a blessing again. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. So we have all heard people in the world say that something like what they call the seven wonders. The seven wonders of the ancient world, they call it, you know. But then the seven wonders of the ancient world. And as far as we know, of all those seven wonders of the ancient world, only one of them is standing today. Praise God. What is peculiar about that world that is standing? How is it different from the one that has all perished? So before the time of Christ, you know, so people, they look at the face of the earth, all kind of landmarks upon the face of the earth, and they identify some of them as great wonders. So they call it the seven ancient great wonders of the world and so on, others, you know. So this morning, I'll quickly highlight those seven ancient wonders and so on, and I will zero in by the grace of God on the one that is still standing today. So the subject matter is the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Amen. Praise God. Whatever the Bible talk about, we are about to talk about in the in our fellowship and the congregation of the saints. Don't forget this one. There are all kinds of falsehoods around the Great Pyramid. There is a pyramidology. That is false science, right? Like even the heavens, right? There is the astrology, right? Astronomy is prophetic in itself, right? Because you follow the Bible. The same way this Great Pyramid thing, you know, also there is pyramidology, a kind of falsehood and so on. But this morning we talk in the light of the scriptures, you know. So quickly, I'm going to run through this seven wonders of the ancient world, really quickly. Then we talk about the Great Pyramid, which is the only one that is still standing right now. So I begin from they rated them, and the pyramid is the first or greatest one of them. I will begin from the very least, then to the greatest of them, according to their own rating. Now, the seventh one, the last house of Alexandria in Egypt. The last house of Alexandria in Egypt. Talking about the seven wonders of the ancient world. Then we zero in on the one that is still standing today, the Great Pyramid. Now, the city of Alexandria was named in memory of Alexander the Great. You know the history in our Daniel series, right? You know, who defeated the Persian army. Remember the four world empires, right? In the time of Daniel and so on. You have the Babylonian Empire, that was the time of Daniel. The Medo-Persian Empire defeated Babylon. Then come the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. Praise the Lord. See? So anyway, the city of Alexander was named in memory of Alexander the Great, who defeated the Persian army, according to the Bible scripture, and then extended this empire from Greece all the way to Libya and to India. So the island of Pharos is located at the entrance to the harbor of Alexandria. Talking about the lighthouse now, the lighthouse of Alexandria in Egypt, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So this lighthouse was put there to keep ships from floundering off the island and to guide the ship into the harbor of Alexandria. And a lighthouse was erected by a pharaoh in the Ptolemy era and so on. It's Ptolemy II actually in 270 BC. You know, Ptolemy dynasty is a set of pharaohs. You know, they call them pharaohs, but they have their own names. Praise the Lord. So you can call pharaoh that title, but they have names. So there is the Ptolemy dynasty, you know, and the Ptolemy II in 270 is the one who erected that lighthouse in Alexandria, Egypt. Do you know from that time on, all lighthouses erected thereafter, the construction of this one have been patterned after it. That's why they call it one of the great Brothers of the ancient world. All the last artists ever since then have been patterned after this one. So what happened to it now is gone. There is no more evidence of any remain of the lighthouse of Alexandria. Move to numbers west. They rated another one to be equal to the seventh wonder in the world of Babylon. The very world of Babylon and some of that, you know. So the two together constitute what they call the seventh wonder of the ancient world. Well, the world of Babylon, what is this? Some authorities co-equal it with the with the seventh wonder of the ancient world. The walls of this magnificent city was 300 feet high above the ground. I say it here all the time, right? And then below the ground, 35 feet deep into the ground. Why are they doing that? So that the invaders cannot climb with a ladder. So it's 300 feet high, right? And they cannot dig and uproot it 35 feet down. So that's why it's one of the so-called seven wonders of the ancient world. So anyway, that one is gone. Now it's 15 miles square, you know, another to know. So anyway, so that's the seventh wonder, they call it those two. Now the sixth wonder of the ancient world is called the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus. What is that? Halicarnassus was the center of a province in southeast Turkey of today, during the time of the Persian Empire. The ruler was Mausolus, they call him Mausoleum, you know. What happened at that time? After his death, his wife or his widow, Artemisia, they call him, ruled the province. So she erected a temple in her husband's memory. The temple was adorned with greenstone, marble, and the work of the best sculptors in Asia at that time. A 9-foot and 9-inch statue of Mausolus stood on a beautiful pedestal surrounded by 30 columns. Now, the entire structure was of such artistic excellence, they said, and beauty, that even today, monumental buildings of the dead are called after that one. They call it the Mausoleum. Today, you know that one, as some of that you know. So after that one. That one is gone, also it's gone. The sixth wonder of the ancient world, gone. Next one, the fifth wonder of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis. If you were in our Revelation series, you would have caught some of this one that I'm talking about right now. So the Temple of Artemis, or Diana at Ephesus, you know. Artemis was one of the mythological goddesses worshipped in the Greeks, by the Greeks. The Roman counterpart was named Diana. In mythology, Artemis was the daughter of Zeus. And in Greek, Zeus means Satan, actually, in the Greek. You know, Zeus means Greek in the, you know, I mean, means Satan in the Greek. So, and she was also the sister of Apollo. The court of Diana set aside a week in the spring to honor her as the mother of Bath. And we talk at length at that in one of our series here on Wednesday night and some of that, you know. Anyway, this holiday was called Ephesus, you know. And though the city of Ephesus was given to the goddess worship of Artemis or Diana. You can read in Acts 19. What I'm talking about, praise the Lord. Brother Paul run into that one also, you know. So anyway, the temple of Diana at Ephesus was made of what? Marble, and one of the largest in the world at that time, you know. It was probably destroyed by the earthquake that struck the city of Ephesus in the second and third centuries. Gone. So all those wonders, so-called Asian seven wonders, they are all gone except one remaining. And now, number four. The Colossus of Rhodes, the fourth wonder of the ancient world and so like that, you know. It was 200 feet high, this Colossus of Rhodes, 200 feet high image of the mythological sun god called Helios. See, they are all images of idols and so like that, you know. It was said to have been completed in about 1200 BC after 11 years of work. Now, mariners, people at the sea and so on, they wrote like this, that when the sun shines upon this Colossus thing, you can see it 100 miles away in the sea. That's how beautiful it is and so on. When the sun shines on it, 100 miles away on the open sea, you can see it away. So they call it, you know, the fourth of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The Colossus stood for about 1,000 years, you know. and it collapsed into the sea when an earthquake shook the island in 224 BC. So talking about the seven wonders of the ancient world. This one, I just short one. I will zero in on the one I want to talk about this morning, the Great Pyramid. Number three, the statue of Zeus or Jupiter at Olympia, Greece, the third wonder of the ancient world. In the early Hellenic period, Hellenic means the Greek era, right? You know, Zeus was worshipped as god of the underworld, you know, that's what it was at that time. So, the early worship of Zeus included human sacrifices and eating of human flesh. It happened right there in Greece. So, while there were many statues and temples dedicated to Zeus, the one on Mount Olympia was so huge and involved the work of so many highly skilled artists that it has been accepted as the third greatest wonder of the ancient world. The statue was 40 feet high and seated upon a throne. His flesh in that statue was made of pure ivory. His robe and the ornaments of gold, can you imagine? And the monument was placed in a temple such as only the Greeks could construct. They wrote, you know. There was also a magnificent temple of Zeus in Pergamos in our Seven Church Ages series, you remember. You know, on the Wednesday night, of course, the Lord said to the people, to the Christian in Pergamos, the Lord said in Acts, I believe it is Acts, Revelation 2:13, the Lord said, I know that's where you sit, the very seat of Satan, you know. So there are two temples to him and so on, like that, you know, Zeus being worshipped like that and so on, like that, you know. Now, what happened to it? None of those two temples of Zeus, either at Pergamos or at Olympia, is remaining today. Well, I believe the one, the Olympia one, I think what happened was it was pillaged, right? All the thieves stole the gold and just put it down, you know, and then they just stole all the ivory and so on, like that, you know. But none of them today is standing as we talk right now. Well, number two, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That one also we talk a lot here, you know, in our Daniel series and other series and so on, like that, you know. What happened was that the wife of Nebuchadnezzar come from a hilly place. And when they came to Babylon, she missed those hills, you know. So to kind of replica what she was used to, Nebuchadnezzar now be this hanging wall and so on. They were made of brick terraces and so on, like that, you know. And sliding, and they look like a hill apart of and so on, that, you know, to please his wife and so on, that, you know. It was so beautiful, they said, hanging about 75 feet above the ground. So it was so nice, they called it the. Now, this Hanging Gardens of Babylon was, I believe, was the only one that, of those ancient wonders, that people tried to revive. Saddam Hussein, 1978, put upon himself to rebuild Babylon to the standard that it used to be before. I don't know how, whether it succeeded or not. Well, now finally, number one, the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. That's our subject matter this morning. Very quickly, the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. And I've said this one before. This is something to do with pyramidology. Talking from the viewpoint of the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Now, of these seven wonders of the ancient world, the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, is the only one still standing. Why? Why is it the only one standing? See? There has to be something about it, right? No? Anyway, it is surrounded by lesser pyramids, anyway, of which only it stands out as something beyond the hand of man. See? Otherwise, were copycat made by man, as far as we know. And none of them come in perfection close to the Great Pyramid. Now, let me just tell you something to see and begin to figure out whether this thing was built by man or whatever. Here is what men say about the Great Pyramid. Couple of things. Now, a building so large that all the locomotives in the world could not pull its weight. That's right. You know, a building so large that it could hold the cathedrals of Rome, Florence, and Milan, and still have room for the Empire State Building, Westminster Abbey, St. Paul's Cathedral, and both houses of the British Parliament. A building so made up of 2.5 million blocks of stone each of them weighing about 3 to 60 pounds each. That's the Great Pyramid. I was concerned, I don't know. More. A building that has settled, has not settled, nor shifted, has not even budged, even a tenth of an inch in over 4,000 years. Never settled 1/10 of an inch, nor shifted. Never. You know. And this feat, they say, even modern engineering could not attain to it. Can you imagine? You know, praise the Lord. See? It covers an area of 13 acres and was originally about 485 feet high. You know, the Great Pyramid of Egypt. When Napoleon built this edifice, he estimated that he could build a wall 10 feet high all the way around France with his stones. That's how huge the stones were. Not only that, if the stones were cut into 1 foot section, there would be enough to reach all the way around the wall at the equator. Praise the Lord. That's how huge the stone this was made up by the, you know, this Great Pyramid and so on. Fascinating findings. More of it about the Great Pyramid, including the mysterious preservation powers of the Great Pyramid. The fascination it has had for world leaders. Almost many world leaders have been to that Great Pyramid. And we can see, I'll mention one or two of them as well. No? No? As far back as Alexander the Great himself was there, it's possible revelation, another fascination, possible revelation of the crucial days of past and future world history. That's in the Great Pyramid. Past days were in there for past and future history. And so that, you know, no, it was in there. And most importantly, the place this magnificent prophetic structure may hold in Scripture. That's our interest, amen? Praise the Lord. That's our own concern. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the Great Pyramid was probably standing in Egypt where Abraham planted his feet on the banks of the Nile River, and was most certainly there when Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It will indeed be strange, therefore, given all this I have said now, it will be strange if this greatest edifice on the face of the earth wasn't mentioned in the Bible. That would be very, very strange, didn't it? Was it mentioned in the Bible? Of course it was, you know. So we believe it's noted in several scriptures, actually. I will give two of them. Isaiah 19:19, I begin from there. See, how can it not be in the scripture? Anything upon this face of this earth of importance is mentioned in scripture. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 19:19 and says this: in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. We will talk about that. How can it be like that? In the midst and at the border? Well, that's true. Verse 20 says, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Verse 21. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know that the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. Now let me digress a little bit now into prophecy in that particular verse of Isaiah, the smiting of Egypt. Now, verse 22 says that, and the Lord shall smite Egypt. That's Isaiah 19, right? And he shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. Well, the setting of this scripture, really quickly, is actually down to the day of the Lord. You know, the smiting of Egypt refers towards a great judgment that will come upon the nation at what now, as a result of his part in conspiracy to destroy Israel. Amen. Amen. Watch what you do with Israel nations. Praise the Lord. Amen. I will curse them. Amen. So Egypt will receive a great punishment for taking part in oppressing Israel at the end of the age. Ezekiel says so. Ezekiel 29, like I said, it's more digression to prophecy right now. Ezekiel 29:9. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he has said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Verse 10 says, behold, therefore, I am against thee, and against thy river, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the tower of Siene even unto the border of Ethiopia. Now, what you want in verse 11? No foot of man shall pass through it, no foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. For 40 good years, Egypt will not be inhabited at all. Watch and see. Now, verse 12. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and as cities, among the cities that are laid waste, shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will dispatch them through the country. Yet, thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years now, will I gather the Egyptians from the people whither they have scattered them. So we now see that both Isaiah and Ezekiel prophesy of this mountain of Egypt, right? Now notice, Bible says no foot of man or beast shall pass through it for 40 years. What's that? For 40 years, no beast, no foot. What about us? Now we know in our age, the atomic radiation and contamination will cause that. Praise the Lord. That's right. 40 years can be, look at Chernobyl in Russia. Who is living there now? See that atomic destruction that happened there, that, you know. So we are living at the atomic age. So no wonder that the atomic involved in there, 40 years, nobody can step a foot, there are no animal, nothing. That's just a little prophecy here. Because why? They join in oppressing Israel, you know. Well, however, according to Isaiah 19, the Bible says, the altar to the law that stands in the midst of the land of Egypt and at the border will be an important sign to the Egyptians in the days of the healing of the land, and that the Lord God of Israel is the true God. That pillar is witnessing to them in a way. Now, this great pyramid is a symbol of God's created power, really. The great pyramid has stood as a silent symbol of God's creative power since long before the Genesis flood. We know that. And it will remain so. From what you see in the Bible, it will remain so even during the millennium. The Bible says so. Praise God. That's right. Isaiah 19 says so. Even as the great mighty stone of Daniel 2:34 is so cut without hands, right? You know, we smell the nation, the image, of gold, head of gold, the breast and arm of silver, the thigh of brass, and the leg and feet of iron. That's most in Daniel 2:35, caught with that hand. Smell that image, that the nation that at the end of time has scattered them and some of that, you know. So that great pyramid is kind of like that and so on. So most assuredly, the blueprint of the great pyramid was not made by a mortal man, amen? Praise the Lord. As I read more about this, even what I've already told you already, how can it be made by man? So the blueprint of the great pyramid wasn't made by a mortal man at all. What is it? Just as God himself is triune, brethren, there is also a threefold witness of his redemption story. Like we read here all the time, so there are threefold. There is the witness in the heavens, right? We went a lot on that, right? There is the Bible, the written word. In the same way, there is the prophecy in stone, Bible in stone. Praise the Lord. That is a great, it's a triune God. And it goes in series. I have three titles, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? So even in the same way, there are three testimonies of himself on earth and some of that. You know, the heavens, number one. Then even in the stone, and then the written word. So we see. Now, the chief cornerstone, which is the final pinnacle, of the great pyramid, we know it's missing, right? That is a type of Christ, the head of the church, being rejected, amen? The great pyramid has no, that the apex is missing right there, right? If you go and look at it and so on, it's prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, how the church world will reject Christ as head. Now, and just at the pyramid, now watch this now, the pyramid at the base is four square, right? So, in the same way, Christ's redemptive work is also fourfold. That is told us in Isaiah 28, verse 16, I will read that word. The fourfold redemptive work of Christ. just that the base of the pyramid is like a four square, right? So there is a fourfold and redemptive work of Christ. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make it. So there are four things mentioned in there, that the base of the pyramid being four square. Number one, in Zion, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, meaning the eternal pre-existence of Christ. Number two, a tried stone, meaning Christ was made flesh and dwelt among God. Number three, a precious cornerstone, meaning Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Number four, a sure foundation. Christ is King, and he will reign during the kingdom age for all eternity and so on, that you know. So even that fourth square base means something in scripture and so on, that you know. Now the great pyramid was a silent witness in Noah's day. We know it. And reproved that wicked generation, as did the Bible in the heavens. And so they were without excuse. Romans chapter 1 said all that and so on. So it was there in the days of Noah. We know that. We live in a day, not like on the day of, you know, like our day, Bible says, as he quotes in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So the exploding population of today on planet Earth, they have the Bible, they have the heaven, and then they have the Bible written in the word and in the stone in our time, all witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk quickly about Bible says in the 1919 of Isaiah, in the midst of the land of Egypt, this pillar the Bible talk about is in the midst of the land of Egypt and at the border thereof. How can that be? Only one particular structure in the whole world fits that description, and that description is the Great Pyramid. So what is it now? How can it be in the midst and also be at the border? What happened was this. During the first dynasty, Egypt was in two kingdoms. In the first dynasty, you know, Egypt was the most ancient kingdom at all in the whole wide world. You know, there are six Gentile kingdoms actually. The first one was the Egyptian, then the Assyrian. Egyptian, Assyrian, the Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Grecian Empire, and Rome is the sixth one. Praise the Lord. Anyway, by the way, so in the first dynasty, what happened? Egypt was in two kingdoms, you know, and King Ahab, A-H-A, of the first dynasty, ruled the upper Egypt. And Queen Nitefu, they call her, don't worry about her name, ruled the lower Egypt. Now, these two rulers now got married. Then they merged the kingdom together, you see, the Cornwall. And the form of Egypt today represents the merged kingdom. And the Great Pyramid is sitting right at the border, the old border of the two kingdoms. That's where the Great Pyramid is sitting. And it's sitting right at the center of the combined kingdom. It's in the middle and it's in the middle. No other edifice in the world. See that description. Play the Great Pyramid. Praise the Lord. Amen. God, what is doing? That, you know. So that's how that one goes. Now, and it shall be for his, Bible says, it shall be for a sign, verse 20 of Psalm 19. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Now let's get one more scripture about this Great Pyramid. So how can it be that Bible won't say anything about it? Jeremiah the prophet, 32 of Jeremiah. So and verse 17 and 20. Ah Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out hands, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 20. Which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day, amen. That great pyramid is standing right there today. The only remaining seven wonders of the world, the Great Pyramid, is sitting right there. Anyway, it's there. The Great Pyramid, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, is possibly the greatest wonder of all ages, really. Now, today, an introduction, you know, in the coming services, I don't know when, it will be contiguous, we go right inside there and see how the things inside there are prophetic and dates and they, you know, and they match the Bible and some of that, you know. So this one is just like an introduction. So now, it has been well said that no construction company today could erect such a building as the Great Pyramid. Science accepts it like that, you know. It is amazing that it was built even in the pre-dawn of history. People are still wondering about that. They wonder that. It is said that it's said to be the greatest and most accurate structure the world has ever seen. Even scientists of today, they accept that, you know. Encyclopedia Britannica says this: the brain power to which it testifies is as great as that of any modern man, talking of the Great Pyramid at Giza. Now, the question I have before I finish this morning, an introduction. Now, who built the Great Pyramid, and where was it built? You know, who built it, and where was it built? You know, well, even those who have studied ancient Egyptian culture and the pyramids for years are often reluctant to establish a hard or dogmatic, you know, fast date as to the identity of the Great Pyramid or the pillar thereof. So, this morning we take a shot at the different postulates that people talk about, you know, of who and who built the Great Pyramid. So, real quickly. Now, the latest date as to when, right? The latest date mentioned for the completion of the Great Pyramid was 2170 BC. And there is a reason that they chose that date. And I will tell you, there are two reasons. So, now, it has to do with astronomy of the heavens and then the Great Pyramid itself. Now, summary this. In the year 2170, two things happen in astronomy. If you take the pyramid base, the square, right, the center of that square in the year 2170, if you draw a line from the center of that square base of the pyramid down to the heaven, it hit the star called the Alcyone star, you know, called the Alcyone star. You know, today, the true north of the earth, the true north, is represented by the star Polaris. We all know that, right? That's right. To see the true star, the true north of the earth, the star Polaris points to the true north today. Now, but the Polaris is not always the true north star at all. Because of the gravitational pull of the moon and the sun upon the earth. So the gravitational pull of the sun and the moon are pulling the earth, and the earth is resisting. So because of that, apart from the earth moving on its axis once in 24 hours to give our day, it also kind of gyrates on that axis. And it takes him about 26,000 years to complete that gyration, you know. So because of that phenomenon, that movement, so the North Pole, I mean the Polaris, will never always be the only North Star at all. Anyway, so in the year 2170, so a line drawn for the base. What's that? Praise God. Praise God. Can you imagine a line drawn from the center of the square base of the pyramid to the heavens in the year 2170? It has said that Alcyone star. What is Alcyone? Let me tell you. Alcyone, like I said before, is a multiple star system in the constellation of Taurus, you know, and it's approximately 440 light years from the sun. Can you imagine what is up there, brethren? Praise God. How great our God is. Praise God. And it is the brightest star in the Pleiades. At any given night, you can see at most with our naked eyes about 7 bright stars in the Pleiades constellation at any given night with your naked eyes. And they call them the 7 sisters, you know. Alcyone is the brightest of all those stars, you know, and some of that, you know. And about 440 light years away and some of that, you know. That's for that. So that particular year, so that line just intersects it and so on. Number 2, sunk at the base, deep at the base of the Great Pyramid, is a subterranean chamber. Right deep in there, very deep below the base of the Great Pyramid, the subterranean chamber, right there, you know, very right there, you know. And then in that same year, a line drawn through that chamber at the bottom of the pyramid to the heavens intersects yet another star. It's called Alpha Draconis, you know. And in that same year, so two things in astronomy. So there is a subterranean chamber below the Great Pyramid. And you know what? Today, we won't go there. I'm going to take the pieces of the Great Pyramid and match it in the Bible. That Certainly that chamber, deep below the grave, is a type of the bottomless pit. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's very deep below the base. And it's a type telling about the bottomless pit. In our Revelation series, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about the bottomless pit and so on. And all those incarceration places in the Bible and so on, that, you know. So in the Acts 21:70, in that tunnel to the heavens, point to this car called the Alpha Draconi, you know. That's why people think that was the year the Great Pyramid was built. But we can't dwell on that because there is no way the builder of the Great Pyramid will know what year it will finish, right? So, by the way, Shadow knows about Alpha Century, right? Praise the Lord. That is the nearest star, right? Praise God. So, this Alpha Draconi, you know, is far bigger than that and so on. By the way, you know, it's located in the constellation of Draco. It was the, like I said, it was the poster, in the year 2170 BC. To tell you, it is 250 times more luminous than the sun. This is astronomy right now. That Alpha Draconi is 250 times more luminous than our sun. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to do that one alone. So that's why they think two major events happened in astronomy in 2170 BC, what I just told you now. So they were thinking how those lines in the Saturnina chamber matches this Alpha Draconi, and how the line drawn for the center base of the pyramid, that of the heavens, means, you know, that star Alcyon right there. Anyway, so we can't get on that. Now, the position of these two stars in the sky, that particular phenomenon won't occur until 25,826 years later. That's what I'm telling you right now. You see, that is how long it will take for the north pole of our heart to change. So, by the way, so I'm going to go back quickly. Now, the only thing, anyway, now we move forward right now. When Herodotus, the Greek historian, came to Egypt, so we're talking about who built the Great Pyramid and when, right? So, now, more things. When Herodotus, the Greek historian, came to Egypt in 450 BC, he interviewed the Egyptians, the priests of Egypt, and who built the pyramid is in your land, and he was informed that the ancient king Cheops built the Great Pyramid. See? Cheops means C-H-E-O-P-S. That's what the Egyptian priest told Herodotus, you know, in the year 450 BC. We're talking about who built the Great Pyramid and when, right? So now, you know, according to what they told him, this Cheops man, or whatever who he is, supposedly used 100,000 men at a time, working 3 months shift. According to them, you know, Egyptian history and some of that, you know. And the construction took 30 years, they told him. That's one version of who they think built the Great Pyramid, Cheops, right? Now, another Egyptian version of who built the Great Pyramid was this. And I will quote this one right now. So here is what they told him of who built the Great Pyramid, and I read. Here they go. There came up from the east men of ignoble race who had the confidence to invade our country, meaning to invade Egypt, and easily subdue it by their power without a battle, they said. Well, according to this version, these men built the Great Pyramid, they think, you know, with the kings and so on. So, it is possible. People think they were subjects of the shepherd king of Abraham today. People were thinking that and so on. In fact, the Egyptians, they so hated these invaders, they refused to name them. Praise the Lord. They so hated them because they just conquered them. They couldn't do anything. They just hated them. And they think, they couldn't even name them. And the Bible bears witness in a way. Remember, when Joseph was in Egypt, right? When he brought his people over, he told them, I will go and show you to Pharaoh now. When you show yourself to Pharaoh, he will tell you and ask you a question to the point that, what kind of, who are you? What do you do for a living? Joseph said, tell them that you are shepherds in trade. That way, and the Egyptians have nothing to do with shepherds because they think they are the one that invaded them, right? So, tell them that you can go and dwell alone so that you'll be separated from them. And so let me read in Genesis chapter 46 quickly. Here's what he said. 46 of Genesis verse 33. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and say, what is your occupation? That he shall say, that servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers. Now, why did he say that? That ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. Now, watch. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, just say, so they can go and die in the land of Goshen. Amen. So, that's good. Anyway, so now, let's finish off by somebody else who they think built the Great Pyramid. In fact, often they call the Great Pyramid the Pillar of Enoch. Praise the Lord. So they call it the Pillar of Enoch. Well, an interesting one is the suggestion that Enoch may have been the builder of the Great Pyramid, you know. And this is corroborated in the Bible, you know, by the fact that most common dates, even in history, most common dates given for the beginning of the construction of the Great Pyramid is about 2900 BC. And that is exactly around the time of Enoch. So people were thinking maybe it built it. Because even in secular history, they were thinking that it was built around 2900 BC. That was the time where Enoch lived. When the Great Pyramid of Giza is also known as the Pyramid of Khufu or the Pyramid of Cheops, you know. Now, the question is this. So, why no one really know who this Cheops is? We don't know who he is. But the dictionary gives him or his time of reigning to about 2900 BC, matching the time of Enoch. You see it now? So, you see, they call it the Pyramid of Khufu or Pyramid of Cheops. Because they are thinking like Cheops built it, right? And they are thinking about Enoch built it. So, now, this Cheops man, according to history, lived right in the time of Enoch. The question now goes, since we don't know who he is, who tell you that Cheops could not be Enoch himself? You see what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. That is the logic right there. We just see it right there. No dogmatism here. But just reading what people have said about the Great Pyramid and so on, you know, and things like that. Now, talking about maybe Cheops was Enoch, we don't know. For example, Noah, for example, according to ancient records, had about 100 names, depending on where the account of the flood was described. So Enoch could have a name called Cheops, we don't know, you know. Even Nimrod himself has many names. Praise the Lord. So anyway, by the way, so we don't know whether it's Cheops or Enoch and so on. It has been pointed out that the remarkable way in which the age or dynasty of Enoch is impressed upon the Great Pyramid itself. You see? So people have commented that even there is some marking, you know, about Enoch on the Great Pyramid, you know. For example, Enoch lived for 365 years, right? And we know that in our solar system, 365 years, you know, is the value of the solar year, right? And Enoch lived for 365 years. So, and that is in Genesis 5:23, right? So that is one of the reasons why they thought that maybe Enoch was the builder of the Great Pyramid. Even right there, you know, number of its year, 365, that is the number of our solar year, right? Moreover, many ancient writers, like I said before, called the Great Pyramid the Pillar of Enoch. They said that and so on. Now, notice that Enoch was in the line of Seth, right? We know that. So some ascribe the building of the Great Pyramid to the dynasty of Seth. So they said that Enoch, the Saku Yaman, they call it the Yasaku Man because its age is the start of its age is the number of our solar year and so on. So it should be observed, you know. That okay. Anyway, they were thinking it may be the architect or the builder of the Great Pyramid. So it is pointed out that now that's what they say, and they say this. That if God revealed the plan of the tabernacle to Moses, right? And he told David the dimensions of the temple, right? Could he have told Enoch the video of the pyramid or whatever it is, you know? So he told Moses about the tabernacle and so on. He told David about the dimensions of the temple and how to do this and so on. So the question goes that, could he not have also, can God could have revealed the design and measurement of the great pyramid to the one chosen by him to superintend, its erection? Or could he not have even inspired and guided all concerned to the task? We are pointing to the divine intervention that led to the construction of the great pyramid, Now, one more thing before I close here with this one. Often I talk about Joseph was here. Joseph first was a Jewish historian. Actually, he was one of the people that led the revolution against the Romans in AD 66. Praise the Lord. He was one of them and so on. One of the leaders, really, And they captured him. Vespasian, the father of, of the Roman general, that eventually invaded. So, but later he found favor with Rome, even though he was an enemy, and he found favor with Rome, and they now make him to write the history of the Jews and so on like that, Anyway, Joseph first said this about the Great Pyramid, in finishing up here. Joseph, the Jewish historian, believed that the Great Pyramid was built before the flood by the sons of Seth, of whom Enoch was a member. So, brethren, we're talking about the seven wonders of the ancient world. And we're talking about the Great Pyramid, which is the only one that is standing today, So, anyway, praise God. Now, so, of the sons of Seth, here is what Joseph said. Now, they were the inventors of the peculiar sort of wisdom, which is concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order. Joseph was saying this about the sons of Seth. And that their inventions might not be lost before they were sufficiently known by man. Now, upon Adam's prediction that the world was to be destroyed at one time or the other by the force of fire, and at another time by the violence of large quantity of water, they made two pillars. I don't know whether I can prophesy this one. This is Joseph's writing now, right? We cannot bow for it. Praise the Lord. He said that Adam prophesied that there be a world destruction by fire and also by water. So because of this now, that there are to be two pillars, right? And one of brick, the other one of stone. So they inscribe their discoveries about the heaven and everything on them both. That in the case, the pillar of brick should be destroyed by the flood, which they say that Adam prophesied, I don't know about that, the pillar of stone will remain, and exhibit those discoveries to mankind, and also inform them that there was another pillar of brick erected by them. Now, this remains, according to Joseph, this remains in the land of Syria to this day. By the way, the land of Syria is what Egypt is known in the time of Joseph. Praise the Lord. See? So, that's what he said, Now, let us finish up this morning. So, the purpose for the construction of the Great Pyramid. I want to run quickly through this and I'll finish right here. So, the Great Pyramid, of course, is the oldest and largest of the three pyramids. That's a complex of pyramids around that Giza. And the Great Pyramid is the oldest and largest of the three of them. So we know that. Although it requires supernatural knowledge, as far as we have seen this morning, or what we have read this morning, and skill to build the Great Pyramid, the reason for its construction and that of all the pyramids, as far as we know, and tombs of Egypt, was that man might inherit eternal life. This is our interest, why we are studying this, so that man may inherit eternal life. Now, for example, even in the Egyptian culture, in the earliest beliefs of the Egyptians, where you can call them the Antediluvians, is the first empire of the world, or whatever you want to call them, they were their beliefs was quite in accordance with the Bible, those early ones. For example, it has been documented that in those tombs of the Egyptians, doors were placed in the southwest section of the ceilings of the burial chambers. In each tomb, the cellar, by cellar I mean the tombstone that is erected on the tomb. So in each tomb, the cellar was positioned to face the body inside the chamber. The conclusion was drawn that Egyptians of the second dynasty believed that the soul of the dead departed to heaven at the moment of death, and that later, when the soul descended, it will identify the original body. See, we are bringing out that even in those days, some of them believe, like the departing of the soul to heaven and so on and that, you know, and coming back and so on and that, you know. It has also been documented that the remains of the ancients who died in Egypt during the first and second dynasties, long before the flood, were buried in the ground in the same position as a baby in the womb. Why did they do that, you know? Praise God. See? Why did they do that? So, this is it. So, the bones have not been decayed. So, because when they bury them, it's a very dry place, right? The bone did not decay. So, they see all these things and so on. So, now, they were buried in this fashion because those who have faith in the resurrection believe that they will have to be born again. See that? So they were buried in the form, in the same shape as a baby will be in the womb. So talking about the new, you know, that they have to be born again. Can you see that? Even those days, I don't know. So the position indicated a faith in the coming of a new body and a body that will never die. Even in that, in the way that thinking, I don't know about, you know. Now, the smaller pyramids, the small pyramids and so on, the little pyramids, which were all patterned after the Great Pyramid anyway, were built as vehicles of heavenly translation. Can you imagine that? So the little ones, they were built as vehicles of heavenly translation for the kings under whose reign those pyramids were constructed. So the king's body was placed in a coffin within a specially built room inside this lesser pyramid, where it will await transportation into the next world. That's what they believe. Praise God. Now, because they copied the Great Pyramid, they couldn't copy it 100%, you know. So, there must be something in the Great Pyramid too. That's really like that. So, there is something in the Great Pyramid called the throne room. Praise the Lord. Now, so, in the Great Pyramid, the specially built room, they copied, is called the Great Room. Amazingly, do you know what? There's no coffin, there's no body in that great room, amen? Amen? But in their own, where they put the coffins in that room, there are bodies there, right? Typing the translation of Enoch. Amen. You see that one? So there was nobody, you know, in that throne room with a copy. So another reason they think it is Enoch who is the builder, you know? So anyway, so that is, you know, so they think that Enoch built it, so therefore in the great room, in that place, there was nobody in there. Well, finally, in the last 1 minute, what I've been saying all day long, whether it is the heaven, like we begin at the beginning of the sermon, God being triune, witnessing himself in three ways, Bible in the heavens, Bible in the stone, Bible in the written word, right? So whether it is in the heavens, edge in monument, or whether it is in the Bible, the truth of God is spread upon the human mind to bring the individual to the reality of the new birth, of the resurrection, and of the rapture, amen? Praise the Lord. So now, see with this scripture right here. So we are seeing right there, even this pyramid, we see the new birth there, the baby, in their dead, they put them like a baby, taking of a new birth. They see the way they position them for a resurrection. And of course, we see the throne room in the great pyramid, where there's nobody in there, about the rapture of Enoch. So in John 3:3, the new birth, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All these things, the Bible, in the pyramid and so on, I'm talking about, they are all revealed another God's writing, you know, Bible in stone and so on, that, you know. Now, in the First Corinthians 15:51, talking about, you know, this is, behold, I show you a mystery, amen? Amen? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth, and we shall be changed, amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet with them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our interest in the great pyramid of Egypt, just because it symbolizes, you know, like God's writing in stone, the same truth in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And just our introduction, next time, or I don't know when it will be, we'll go inside there. You know, today we talk about 22 signs. The apex was missing. The type of Christ rejected, right? Talking about the subterranean chamber. Very deep below the great pyramid, typified in the bottom of that pit, right? As we go in the future, as God will lead us, we'll go in there and bring in different pieces and how they relate to the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, to others in parable, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for accounting us worthy to have understanding of your mystery, in as more so we can make ourselves ready for your very soon coming, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Father, we worship and we adore you for the time we sit in your presence, the time of rejoicing and praising God. As we go this morning, Father Lord, let us now begin to appreciate your wonder. Everything upon this earth, Lord, oh Lord God, you know about them, you fashioned them, you created them, you called the air from the beginning. So Lord, oh Lord God, even enlighten us as we go this morning, Lord, oh God, and you know that by the Holy Spirit, Lord, oh God, we continue to do only the things which are pleasing in your sight by our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to preach ourselves, nor do our own things, nor speak our own words, Lord. Speak the word only,
Amen. The
word of God. And miracles shall, our life shall be a succession of miracles.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Commit a new week to your hand, Lord, that has gone before us. Your angel does a camp around us. As we go, help us to have favor before all men. Bless the work of our hands, Lord. Provide for all our needs, Lord, even as you have promised. We thank you for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Let us lift up our hands together and say, we thank the Lord.
We thank.